If I may add to this, just to continue the thought. If you took and considered Moses, maybe we can follow his life from his birth up to the end. You take Samuel, it is another person, you can follow up his birth up to the end, and John the Baptist, and certain great men of faith. But one cannot say enough how one just marvel at the fact when the Spirit of God bring individuals out of nowhere into a place of conflict and warfare. And mostly I always think of Joshua and David. I mean, you will always wonder to yourself, where did David obtain the strength to really go after a lion and a bear? And you would think that Joshua, we've been talking about, being in the land of captivity in Egypt, under bondage, where did he obtain all this skills of leading the army against Amalek? And brethren, as we were reminded, the secret of their strength is their private, intimate time with the Lord himself. Unknown to man, but yet very known to heaven. And this is where the starting point is. Sometimes we fall into the trap that we want to come into the public arena first. Brethren, public arena could be, if it was done the right way, it is a reflection of what I have obtained and enjoyed in a private way with the Lord himself. The other thing is that Amalek, we have discussed the thought of it, but there was something unique about Amalek, that his hand was upon the throne. It is an enemy that always desire to oppose the rights of God, the rights of the throne. And how wonderful to learn from such a character, as young and old, that we always have to have the desire to maintain the rights of God. Whether in our own personal lives or in the assembly, but to have this spirit of Joshua that fights against Amalek, as it were, by way of application, to maintain and vindicate the throne of God in all things. And the last quick comment I want to say, that Moses will tell him, choose. You know, you would say, Moses is still very active. He would be the one that will be suitable for him to choose men. But you know what? Joshua tells me about another feature of him as a young man. He was full of discernment. He has observed young fellows with him that were men of war, if I can use that term, mighty men, where he can discern that these are the men that can be used in such a conflict. And dear brethren, these are features that are much needed in our present time.
Just like to add too that in this very same connection that we've been hearing about with Joshua learning to give God the rights that are due to him and living with that backdrop behind him, we would like to just sort of use that reference in 1 Thessalonians 2 as sort of an overlay of all of this. What those believers did in 1 Thessalonians 2, the desire was that they were going to walk worthy of God. We won't save that till our last consideration, but just look at how it relates to the Christian life in applying to these examples. And we really should add verse 13, to be honest, also to that outline, chapter 1 Thessalonians 2, verses 12 and 13, because in verse 13 it says that when they heard the word of God, they received it, not as if it was just the word of men, but they received it as it really was, as the word of God. And so we were making the contrast between the flesh and the authority of God. This is the mindset that the believer must have. This is the mindset that Joshua had, to live recognizing that God has authority, and he's going to live underneath that authority, so to speak.
Thank you. regarding the acknowledgement of the authority that Joshua acknowledged from God, he used that understanding with his relationship with Moses. You notice in verse 10 it says, "So Joshua did as Moses had said to him." It seems like a simple statement, but what could have Joshua done? "Well, Moses, you want me to do all this? What about you, Moses? Or who made you the boss, Moses?" No, none of that. It was an acknowledgement of the moral authority Moses already had, and Joshua acknowledged that. So this is, he's a young man here, and it's a wonderful attribute, willing to submit himself to an older follower of the Lord and to take instruction and not bring up objections. You know, this was not the case of Moses, if we remember his history, when God was calling him. He had all sorts of excuses. And so Joshua did not behave that way with Moses. Moses asked him to do certain things, and he went ahead and he did them. And I believe Moses saying, "I'm going to go up to the mount with the rod of God," must have puzzled him. Maybe he had questions about that. "Oh, you mean you're not going to be part of this fight? You're just going to relax on top of the hill and watch?" But he understood Moses' place, and he accepted that. And he was going to learn from this experience that that rod of God had a direct impact on his success in the battlefield. And this is another lesson he'll learn at a very early age. His natural strength would not be enough. But to acknowledge this in verse 10, that he saw Moses as an older one who had experience and he submitted himself to.
Just one other point. In Numbers 27, it says that Joshua had the Spirit. A man who has the Spirit. So we have the Spirit of God, every one of us, when we trust Christ as our Savior. And that's the important thing. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of him. So how important it is that you, to rely upon the Spirit of God. And with the Lord Jesus, too. Without thee, we can do nothing. And then, too, I want to mention about Moses holding his hands up. It speaks of the mediatory offices of the Lord Jesus. He's our great high priest, one office. He's our advocate. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father. But he has six others. I won't go into those other six, but be that as it may, take advantage of the Lord's present ministry there at God the Father's right hand, as we see Moses holding his hands up. So how wonderful that is that God used Joshua. And it's for our benefit to read that. All things written aforetime, written for us, written for our learning, not for them. Okay?
You just mentioned that Joshua could have said, "Moses, why don't you go?" Or Joshua, he could have said, "Look, why me?" But also he could have said, "Great. Hey, Moses chose me, so I could go." Remember, he was fighting against Amalek. We mentioned that it was a type of the flesh. Joshua was young, as we hear, at this point. And therefore, one of the things that could really hamper Joshua's progress is the flesh. And like in all of us, but especially the young, my thought is brought to 1 John 2, where it mentions, "I write unto you, young men, because you're strong, you've overcome the wicked one. And I have written unto you, because the word is in you." And I believe Joshua began to learn the word, to let it hide in him so that he may be victorious over the enemy, over the flesh. And that's one of the things as young people we need to do, but not only young people, of course, but all of us, because the flesh is in us. And unless we keep it under subjection to the Holy Spirit, which is also in us, we're going to run into difficulty. Joshua was there fighting the flesh, Amalek. We all must keep the flesh under subjection. And the only thing that's going to do that is the Holy Spirit, and if I know the word. The word is tremendous in helping me to keep the flesh under subjection.